We're going to come back to Parshas Bo in just a few minutes. The subject of today's shiur is the transition between Mitzrayim and the Midbar. We're not yet ready for the transition from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael. But we want to highlight some of the marvelous and miraculous nature of that transition, Yetzias Mitzrayim entering into the Midbar. So we'll fast forward now to Parshas Maasai. And of course the focus of Parshas Maasai are the sojourns of Bnei Yisrael throughout the 40 years, the transition between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. And at the very beginning of Parshas Maasai, in Perek Lamed Gimel, the Torah begins the first Masa, Pasuk Gimel, Vayisu mi Ramses, Bachodesh HaRishon, Bachamisha Soyom, Lachodesh HaRishon, Mimochas HaPesach, Yotzu Bnei Yisrael, Biad Rama, Li'enei Kol Mitzrayim. So Pasuk Gimel pinpoints the place in which the entire process of Yitzias Mitzrayim begins. From whence do Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim on their first Masa? And where are they going to? Pasuk Gimel answers the first question, where do they leave from? Yatzu Bnei Yisrael Biad Rama Lieni Kol Mitzrayim. This on the 15th of Nisan. Vayisu Me Ramses. So Ramses is the location from which they leave Eretz Mitzrayim, and obviously Ramses is located in Eretz Mitzrayim. We'll see exactly where in Eretz Mitzrayim. But first, let's look at Pasuk Hey here in this parsha at the beginning of Maasai. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael mi Ramses vayachnu b'sukos. On the one hand, this pasuk seems to be somewhat, to some extent, repetitive, because we've already learned in Pasuk Gimel, Vayisumi Ramses. Of course, the chiddush here in Pasuk Hey is where do they go to from Ramses? Where is their first stop in the sojourns through the desert? And that is B'Sukkos. We're not sure exactly where Sukkos is located, but in any event, they travel from Ramses to Sukkos, and that's certainly the chiddush of Pasuk Hey. But there seems to be another chiddush in Pasuk Hey, because if you compare Pasuk Hey back to Pasuk Aleph, you'll find something interesting. That Vayisu Meram says, there's no mention of who, of course we know from context who it was that left Ramses. And we know it's Bnei Yisrael that left Mitzrayim, but the Pasuk doesn't pinpoint exactly who it was that left Miramses. And that's Vayisu Miramses. In the case of Pasuk Hey, however, two words are added, wedged between Vayisu and Miramses. And that's Bnei Yisrael. And the one who notices this change is the Baal HaTurim. But the first question that we want to ask, even before we get to the Bnei Yisrael emphasis here in Pasuk Hey, is the question of why the Torah feels compelled to tell us that the Masa of Bnei Yisrael begins from Ramses. And if the Torah felt that it was necessary to tell us Vayisumi Ramses, why not tell us who left from Ramses? And it should have been Bnei Yisrael. And the one who notices this and raises this question is the Kli Yochar. The Kli Yochar says, Im nidagdek, if we'll be very careful, Mashenemar Vayisumi Ramses lo hizkir Bnei Yisrael, the pasuk is free, it doesn't feel compelled to mention Bnei Yisrael were the ones who left me Ramses. But v'yachar kach, chazar v'yomar shenis in Pasuk Hey, v'yisu Bnei Yisrael mi Ramses. Here, the Pasuk felt compelled to tell us that it was Bnei Yisrael. But many centuries before the Kli Yochar, probably about, I would say, 6 or 7, the Baal HaTurim noticed this question. And let's read the words of the Baal HaTurim, Vayisu mi Ramses, ubasar hachi, Ksiv Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Miram says, Mitchila Nasu Be'irbuvya Erev Rav Beinehem. The Torah omits Bnei Yisrael deliberately, because it's not really Bnei Yisrael. These are not the offspring of Bnei Yisrael exclusively that are leaving Ramses, but rather there's an admixture, there's an accompaniment here in this sojourn of those who aren't Bnei Yisrael, namely Erev Rav. But Basar Hachi, but in the later Pasuk, which is already the beginning of the Masos, in other words, the first Pasuk Gimel, is really a description of leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. Who left Eretz Mitzrayim? It was an Erbuvia that included within it the Erev Rav. Now, in Pasuk Hey, we're no longer talking about leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. The Exodus is not the subject, but rather the string and a continuous chain of sojourning from place to place. And here, the Torah repeats the story of Vayisu Miramses, but here it's Bnei Yisrael. And in the language of the Baal Tur Basar Hachi, Kshemesaper HaMasos Kulam, when we're talking about the entire process of Masos, which is going to culminate in the last Masa when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, is Mazkir Bnei Yisrael Ki Efridu Erev Rav Mibeneihem. In this process of Yotzei Eretz Mitzrayim and Knisa and Konsei Eretz Yisrael Hanichnasim Hayotzei Eretz Mitzrayim and Nichnasim Eretz Yisrael, which is really a subject that begins with Pasuk Hey. During that whole process of Masa, the Erev Rav are going to drop out. They're going to be separated from the rest of Bnei Yisrael, and therefore the Pasuk says Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Miramses. Even though at that moment in history, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Miramses, it's really Berbuvia. But we're no longer talking about leaving Eretz Mitzrayim, we're talking about going towards Eretz Yisrael. And if we look at the entire picture of going towards Eretz Yisrael, all of Masos, then we're talking about Bnei Yisrael. The Erev Rav will be completely cut off from Bnei Yisrael. Now, we're still not ready, really, for Parshas Bo. We need one more introduction, and possibly even two more introductions. I want to learn with you a series of psukim that appear before Matan Torah. They don't mention Ramses specifically or explicitly, but Rashi sees in these psukim a reference, an allusion to Ramses. So the first topic that we want to speak about in terms of the transition between Mitzrayim and Midbar is of course Ramses, because that's the point which the Torah identifies as the point from which they left Eretz Mitzrayim. So now we're going to turn to Parshas Yisro, to Perek Yutes, that's the last Perek before Matan Torah in Perek Chav. And we're going to look specifically at the beginning of Perek Yutes. We're talking about the third month, V'chodesh HaShlish, Netzeis B'nei Yisro, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Bayom HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So 3 months have passed, they've left Eretz Mitzrayim, and they now come in Midbar Sinai, and there we have the very famous pasuk, Vayachnu b'Midbar, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar. Moshe goes up to the mountain, and Hashem calls out to Moshe, Kol Tomar l'bnei Yaakov v'sagid l'bnei Yisrael, Atem re'isem Asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You've already seen what I've done to decimate Mitzrayim. And now we're talking not about destroying Mitzrayim, but something more positive. V'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim v'avi eschem eloi. I have carried you in a miraculous way on the wings of eagles to bring you close to me. And Rashi wants to know exactly what day is this pasuk referring to in the calendar. In other words, we've left Mitzrayim 3 months ago, and now we've entered into Midbar Sinai 3 months later, and the Torah now, Hashem is now revealing to Moshe, listen carefully, he says, tell Bnei Yaakov, tell Bnei Yisrael, you have seen what I did to Mitzrayim, and you have seen that I've carried you on a certain day, says Rashi. What day is this pasuk, V'yesa eschem al kanfei nishom, referring to or alluding to? Says Rashi, Zeh hayom shebo Yisrael l'Ramses. It's the day on which Klal Yisrael came to Ramses. Now wait a minute, this is a little bit confusing, because Klal Yisrael came to Ramses much, much earlier. In fact, centuries earlier. So at this point, we're going to take an interruption. We'll come right back to this Rashi in Parashas Yisrael. But first, let's go back to the history of Ramses. Where is the origin of Ramses? And at what point in the history of the Jewish people do they come to Ramses? And now we go back to Sefer Bereishis, and we open up Parashas Vayigash. And of course, Yaakov, together with his other sons, comes to Mitzrayim. Yosef receives his father and his brothers in Mitzrayim, and he settles them in the land, somewhere in the land of Eretz Mitzrayim, B'mei Tavars, but where specifically? And the Pasuk says, this is Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayoshev Yosef es Aviv ves Echov, he settles them down, Vayiten lem Akuz of the Eretz Mitzrayim, B'mei Tavars be Eretz Ramses, the land of Ramses. And Rashi comments in Parshas Vayigash, Ramses may Eretz Goshen he. Notice on the one end we find that the Psukim indicate Yosef designated Eretz Goshen as the land for his father and brothers, for his family. But yet here the Pasuk says that Yosef settled his father and his brothers in Ramses. And the answer must be that, says Rashi, Ramses is somewhere in Eretz Goshen. So Eretz Goshen is a larger strip of land, and one of its smaller parts, perhaps a city, perhaps a district, is Ramses. So this dates back centuries before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when it says, V'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim, and Rashi says that this is a reference to the day in which Klal Yisrael reached Ramses, that's a little bit odd. Didn't they settle in Ramses from the get-go, from the time that they entered into Eretz Mitzrayim and Yosef received them? And strangely enough, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried them on eagle's wings to Ramses, from where? Shahayu Yisrael mefuzarim b'chol Eretz Goshen. So it's not really the case, it seems, from Rashi, as we understood from the Psukim in Vayigash, that Yosef settled his father and his brothers in Ramses. He settled them in Eretz Goshen. And in fact, the multitudes of the Jewish nation at that time would have to settle throughout Eretz Goshen. Rashi's language here in Yisro is Bechol Eretz Goshen. Ulishah Kala, and it took just a 1 hour, or one moment perhaps, Shebo Lisa Velotzeis Niskabtsu Kulam L'Ramses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously gathered together the Jewish people when they were ready to start the Masa from Mitzrayim into the Midbar, from Eretz Goshen, or the Mefuzarim, all the far-reaching, distant, far-flung areas of Goshen on all the borders, and he gathered them together to Ramses. So it's very odd. On the one hand, it says in the Pasuk that, back in Vayigash, that they settled in Ramses. On the other hand, Rashi's saying they were Mefuzar B'chol Eretz Goshen, And Rashi says that Hashem gathered them miraculously from the four corners of Eretz Goshen to Ramses. And that was the great miracle of Va'esa Eschem al Kanfei Nisharm Seduzim. That day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was a great miracle that took place, besides all the other miracles that we know of. And we're going to see Kriyas Yamsufer is coming up the pipeline. But at that moment that they left Eretz Mitzrayim, or shall I say right before that moment, there was a miracle in which they were gathered together in a short kal in a very short period of time on the wings of eagles by Hashem from the four corners of Eretz Goshen, if you will, Bechol Eretz Goshen, Rashi's language, to a place called Ramses, and that's where Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place, in a place called Ramses. Clearly indicating that Bnei Yisrael was had settled all over Eretz Goshen, not in Eretz Ramses, and that seems to be a problem in the light of the Pasuk in Vayigash. But truth be told, at this point we swing to our parasha, the parasha's bow, and we're going to see that the problem is twofold. That it's a much more complicated issue. And now we're going backwards from, you know, we started in Masai, we went back to Yisro, and now we're going all the way back to Parshas Bo. In truth, we went back all the way to Vayigash. But as we open up Parshas Bo, and specifically Perek Yud Beis, which is the Perek dedicated to the laws that Moshe gives the people before they leave Mitzrayim, the Pasuk tells us at the end of Perek Yud Beis, let's look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael mi Ramses, so far so good. This is the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it starts from the first Masa is mi Ramses. And where are they going to? This we've already seen at the beginning of Masa, Elam and Gibel B'Pasuk Hey, they're going to Sukkos. Vayachnu Besukos, and that's what it says here in Bo, Vayisu Vnei Yisrael mi Ramses Sukosa. And everything seems to be wonderful. All the pieces of the puzzle fit into place, except for Rashi. Rashi says, May Ramses Sukosa. Rashi says, how long of a distance is from that first Masa, that means you choose time from Ramses, so the first Chanoya, the first encampment, which is in Sukkos. And Rashi says, Kuf Chaf Mil, 120 mil. Now, I'm a little bit confused because elsewhere we'll soon see that it's Tuf Kuf Chaf Mil. Whatever it is, there seem to be different versions and different statements in Chazal, but it's a very, very long distance. And Rashi says, Ubo L'Sham L'Fi Shah. It took them a very short amount of time to arrive in Sukkos. Wow, another kfitza said there. But keep in mind that the last time, well, it's actually, we're going backwards, but the last time we studied Shah Kala in Rashi, this is not the first time we're seeing Shah Kala in Rashi, was in Parshas Yisro, and there Rashi was talking about gathering the people from the four corners of Eretz Goshen and bringing them to Ramses. Here in Parshas Bo, Rashi's talking about the distance that they traveled from Ramses to Sukkos, which was Kuf Chaf Mil, Ubo Shom, and they got there to Sukkos, Bishar Kala, Lufi Shah, Shenemhar, and just to add the icing on the cake, Va'esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nishar. So wait a minute. What was the carrying, you know, when, where, and how was the carrying of God miraculously to Jewish people on the wings of eagles, the Shah Kal? Was it A, as we saw in Parshas Yisro and Rashi, to take the Bnei Yisrael, gather them together from the four corners of Eretz Goshen and bring them to Ramses? Or was it the trip, the very long distance they had to traverse from Ramses to Sukkos? And the one who notices this problem is the Chizkuni. Not the Chizkuni here in Bo, but the Chizkuni there in Parshas Yisro, because that's where the contradiction really comes to the fore. If you only had Rashi here in Parshas Bo, And you asked Rashi, well, what's the answer to Veseschem? When did God actually carry the Jewish people miraculously to Fishah? The answer is in the trip from Ramses to Sukkos. And that was miraculous. But now that we're in Parshas Yisro, and Rashi identifies the miraculous carrying of Bnei Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Kanfei Nesharim as the trip from the various corners of Eretz Goshen to Ramses, not from Ramses, but to Ramses, is Frektik Chizkuni V'im Tomar Harei Lamala V'Parshas Bo Pirish Rashi to Hu Yom Bo O Bo May Ramses L'Sukos. How can Rashi here in Yisro say that the Eseschem is referring to the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered together the people? Shayim Mefuzar B'chol Eretz Goshen L'Shakana Bo Lisa Nispak Tzukul B'Ramses Le Ramses, not me Ramses, but Le Ramses. Eliyesh Lomar says the Chizkuni, De Va'esha Eschem Koy Aha the Koy Aha. Now, I have to admit, I have no footnotes on this answer of the Chizkuni in my version of the Chizkuni in the Moser Rav Kook, but I would say the following. Lefiani is daiti, and you know, take me with a grain of salt, because I don't have any guarantee that my pshat in the Chizkuni is correct, but I think what he's saying is that the journey that's being referred to here, the carrying of Bnei Yisrael miraculously by Hashem al Kanfei Nesharim that's being referred to, is indeed not one journey, not one miracle, but two miracles. One miracle is to gather Bnei Yisrael from the corners of Eretz Goshen to Ramses, and the other miracle is to travel from Ramses to Sukkos. And we've already seen in the Balaturim in Parshas Masai that the Vayisu, which is repeated twice, even though it's referring to the same exact Masa, once in again we're in Periklam and Gimel of Bamidbar, once in Pasuk Gimel and again in Pasuk Hey, Vayisu Vayisu, is conceptually two different concepts. One concept is the leaving of Mitzrayim, and the Erev Rav joined in because obviously they wanted to get out of Mitzrayim as well. And then there's the actual beginning, the kickoff of the Masos, that are going to take Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. There it's Bnei Yisrael. There the Erev Rav drops out. They don't partake in that glorious trip. And perhaps if we use at least the abstract concepts here and the chiluk, the tzvei dinim here of the Balaturim in Masai, and we sort of superimpose it here in the Chizkuni, if we can do such a thing. Again, two Rishonim from Ashkenaz that lived very close in time, is that we could say that there were two miracles here. Hashem is first getting Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim as fast as possible, the Chipazo, miraculously gathering them together from the far-flung corners of Eretz Goshen where they had settled, in order to bring them together at one point, and the point at which they're going to leave from the land. Again, I'm not sure why it's so important that they leave Dafka from Ramses. That's an interesting, fascinating question. But nevertheless, they have to leave from one point. If it's not Ramses, it'd be some other X on the map. But they want to leave together as one nation, and now's the right moment. They finally got the green light from Pharaoh and Mitzrayim. Now they have to gather together. Hashem does that miraculously. And that's chapter number one. But chapter number two is the glorious trip or journey of Bnei Yisrael from the Midbar, or through the Midbar, all the way to Eretz Yisrael as their final destination. And here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicks this off with a glorious, you know, mind-boggling miracle of V'yesu Eschem al Kanfei Nesharim, in which they traverse an amazing amount of distance, Kuf Chaf Mil, in 1 hour, Va'esa Eschem es Kanfei Nesharim. And that's what I think the Chizkuni means when he says, Va'esa Eschem Koyaha, V'Koyaha. It's a reference, first and foremost, to the miraculous gathering of Bnei Yisrael, as Rashi says in Parshas Yisro, to one particular point, and that is to Ramses. They gathered together from the from the corners of Eretz Goshen in one short period of time to bring them together to Ramses, and they converge on Ramses. They're ready now to start the Masa. It's the beginning of a glorious trip. And that kickoff, the first leg in that long journey to Eretz Yisrael, to the destined promised land, which is the trip from Ramses to Sukkos, is once again V'esaschem al kafi nisharim. The kufchaf meal is going to be l'fishah, because V'esaschem al kafi nisharim. Two, shall we say, expressions of God's love for Bnei Yisrael. One, to get them out of Mitzrayim as soon as possible, and miraculously do so. And two, to get them started and sort of push them projectile towards Eretz Yisrael. And that's the trip, the first Masa of many Masos from Ramses to Sukkos. Keep in mind, we still haven't reconciled Rashi with the fact that it's clear from Parshas Vayigash that Yosef had settled his family in Ramses. Rashi says Ramses may Eretz Yisrael, but yet Rashi identifies the location of Bnei Yisrael as all of Eretz Goshen, not in Ramses. Adarab, Hashem is taking them al kafi nisharim to Ramses. And perhaps the one who notices this, although with a different kasha, is the Netziv Mivalojin in Hamikdavar. And this is the Netziv back in Parshas Vayigash, commenting on Rashi, who identifies Ramses as a location within the bounds of Eretz Goshen, and he says that can't be. He's not bothered specifically by our kasha, how to reconcile the fact that Rashi sees Bnei Yisrael as living all over Eretz Goshen, whereas Rashi seems to assume that Yosef settled them in Ramses, not in all of Eretz Goshen, not to reconcile that contradiction, but rather to raise a different objection to Rashi, and that is, how could Rashi say that Eretz Ramses is located within the boundaries of Eretz Goshen? Lo nira klal, says the Netziv, diim kein lo yoshu b'nei, lo yoshvu Yisrael b'chol Eretz Goshen, ele b'chelek echad sheba shu Ramses. The impression you get from Rashi, says the Netziv, is that Bnei Yisrael settled not all over Eretz Goshen, but in a certain part of Eretz Goshen, which is called Ramses, which is within Eretz Goshen. And again, we're waiting with bated breath for the Netziv to ask the kasha, but did not Kodesh Baruch Hu bring them and gather them from all of Eretz Goshen to Ramses on the day of the 15th of Nisan, the day of Yitzis Tzrayim, V'esaschem al kafi nisharim on that day? But that question is not the question that the Hamik Dover raises. But Radav HaRei, B'Sefer Shmos, if you take a look at the Psukim in Parshas Vayera, in Perek Ches and Perek Tes, which describe the Makos of Borod and Orov, the Psukim clearly indicate that these Makos had no impact on Eretz Goshen. And when we're talking about Eretz Goshen, we're talking about the entirety of Eretz Goshen. Now, if Rashi is correct that Bnei Yisrael settled and Yosef settled them not in Eretz Goshen Bechlal, Kula, but rather in Miktsasa, which means only in Ramses within the bounds of Eretz Goshen, then how can it be that the Makos did not impact on Eretz Goshen at all, on any part of Eretz Goshen? And because of this question, the Netziv comes to the pretty radical conclusion, if I could call it that, that there was an Eretz Ramses that was outside the bounds. It was perhaps adjoining or bordering on Eretz Goshen, but there were two lands. There was one land called Goshen, and there was another land called Ramses, which was Smuchala, it was close to Eretz Goshen. Eretz Goshen was the land in which Bnei Yisrael settled, and they settled the entire land, all of Eretz Goshen. Therefore, the Makos didn't affect any part of Eretz Goshen, because wherever you turned in Eretz Goshen, whether it was the north, south, east, or west, you always found the settlers. You know, the settlers were Israelis. You know, they were Eretz Yisraelitic people. I mean, Bnei Yisrael, and Eretz Ramses was given to them as an achuzas nachla, And again, if we had more time, we would research the question why Yosef wanted to give them this attached land as an Achuzas Nachla called Eretz Ramses. But be that as it may, in the Nitzir's frame of reference, Eretz Ramses is outside the bounds of Eretz Israel, of Eretz Goshen, excuse me. And I frankly, for the rest of our discussion today, I'm going to assume that the Nitziv is incorrect. And here I'm influenced by a contemporary of the Nitziv, a little bit younger than the Nitziv, back in about 1850, and that's the Divrei Yirmiyahu of Rav Yirmiyahu Lau. And he was located in a different part of Europe, not in Volozhin, in Lita. He was located in a certain part of Hungary, which is called Presburg. And he writes the following in his Pirish on Vayigash. He says, Ulam Hagon Azeh, clearly referring to the Nitziv, Lo Sam Libo, he wasn't paying attention, La Posaka Mefurish B'Tor B'Tzis Mitzrayim. Meaning, the Torah is outspoken in Parshas Bo that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus began from Ramses. And the Posuk says, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael mi Ramses Sukosa, Kishei Shmeos Elef Ragli. And we see this again in the Masos and Parshas Masai. In Sefer Bamidbar, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael mi Ramses, Mefurash, Sheikar Moshav, Shel B'nei Yisrael, Hoya B'Ramses. Where were the B'nei Yisrael located? I mean, where did they exit from? Ramses. Now, on the other hand, we know that they were given within Mitzrayim Eretz Goshen. So obviously Rashi is correct that Ramses is within Eretz Goshen, but it's not identical with Eretz Goshen. It overlaps, it's located within the bounds of Eretz Goshen, but it doesn't take up all of Eretz Goshen, because the Yetzias Mitzrayim clearly took place from Ramses. So therefore, we have no choice but to derive Rashi, the conclusion of Rashi, that Ramses was within Eretz Goshen. We know that Bnei Yisrael were in Eretz Goshen. We know that they left Eretz Mitzrayim from Ramses. It must be, therefore, Rashi is correct, that Ramses is within Eretz Goshen. No, but you'll ask me, if Bnei Yisrael converged on one particular limited area within Eretz Goshen, namely Ramses, then how could it be that all of Eretz Goshen was spared the makos of Barad and Arov? And here the Divrei Yirmiyahu presents a thesis which I think would answer our problem. So let's just first hear his thesis and then see if we can apply it to our problem. Mitchila ha'yikar moshavam rak b'Eretz Ramses. As the pasuk indicates in Vayigash, Yosef settled them in Eretz Ramses, which is a small section within the larger province or country of Eretz Goshen. But the acharkach nisrabu ma'od kemavur b'sofa parasha. At the end of Sefer Shmos, we learn about the multiplying of Bnei Yisrael, the population expansion or the population boom of Bnei Yisrael. Is therefore Ramses became too circumscribed, too limited of an area of location for Bnei Yisrael. Ramses could not, how should I say, tolerate the large numbers of Jews. And therefore, it's Pashtu, I'll call Eretz Goshen. Now, they spilled over into all of Eretz Goshen, north, south, east, and west, all the four corners of Eretz Goshen. So it works like this. On the one hand, they were settled in, and this was the original situation in Ramses. Later on, they have to be mispashed all of Eretz Goshen. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were indeed located in all of Eretz Goshen. Because of the overflow, they couldn't remain limited to the space of Ramses. Now they're living all of Eretz Goshen, and therefore the makos of Arov and Barad could not impact anywhere on Eretz Goshen. Because wherever you turn, there were Jews. There were so many Jews, they had to supply, they had to populate and settle with all of Eretz Goshen. So there's no theory here between what Rashi says that Va'esa Eschem al Kanfe Nisharim, I mean, this is where I want to answer our question, that Bnei Yisrael were gathered together miraculously and very quickly from the four corners of Eretz Goshen and brought to Ramses for the Yetziyah of Mitzrayim, that's not in conflict with the fact that Rashi tells us that Yosef had settled Bnei Yisrael in Ramses and not beyond Ramses. Ramses is only a part of, but within the bounds of, Eretz Goshen. So why is it that we find that the Makos didn't impact all of Eretz Goshen? Says the Dimirio, because ultimately Bnei Yisrael had to break out of the confines of the limited location, the area of Ramses, and they settled all of Eretz Goshen. Now, if that be the case, Rashi is correct, and on the one hand, they originally settled in Ramses, and that's clear from Yosef, as the pasuk says, "Vayoshev Yosef es aviv," etc., etc., "be'eretz Ramses." But on the other hand, Rashi is right that "va'esa eschem," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to gather together the people of Israel from all over Eretz Goshen to bring them to Ramses for the Yetziyah. So now everything fits into place without having to undermine and reject Rashi as the Netziv was wont to do and say that Eretz Goshen is out, that Eretz Ramses is outside the bounds but smucha to Eretz Goshen. No, Ramses is within the bounds of Eretz Goshen, but there were two historical periods. Originally, they were settled in Eretz Ramses, but which is only a portion of Eretz Goshen, but that wasn't enough. Later on, when they expanded, the population expanded, they needed to expand their settlement, and they settled indeed on all four corners of Eretz Goshen, as the Dimrior presents it. And Rashi is great. There's no stira, as the Tziv would see it, from the fact that Makas Bar of Yarov didn't have impact on any area in Eretz Goshen, because there were Israelis all over Eretz Goshen. Now, you can ask a different question. And that is, why did Hashem gather the people of Israel, Bnei Yisrael, from all over Eretz Goshen? Why did He gather Bnei Yisrael to Ramses? You know, once they expanded beyond the confines of Ramses, Ramses was too narrow, too limited in space for them, because Vayifru, Vayishmitzu, Vayirbu, Bobo. Now, we have to gather them together for the point of Exodus. Why is the chosen point of Exodus Ramses? As if to say we're going back to the same location that they began at when Yosef settled them and they came from Eretz Canaan. So here the Divrei Miyo has an insight, which again, I think, as we said at the outset of the Shia, would, in a sense, shed another light on the miraculous and spiritual dimension of this entire period, of this entire process, I would call it, of transition from Mitzrayim to the Midbar. And of course, the introduction to that miraculous, beautiful, transition, leaving the Exodus from Mitzrayim and beyond into the Midbar, is the Esa Eschem Ad Kanfei Nesharim. But why is Hashem miraculously gathering the people together to Ramses? Says the Divrei Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Lau. Hatam bozeh, ki be'eretz Ramses hoya beis midrashel shel Yaakov. When Yosef received Yaakov and his brothers in Mitzrayim, he settled them in Eretz Ramses, and that becomes the capital of Eretz Goshen, meaning in its time, again, all the 70 Nefesh Yodim Yisrael were in Ramses. That was no problem. But later on, when the population explosion required that they settle all over the four corners of Eretz Goshen, Ramses remained the capital of Eretz Goshen. In a certain sense, you could say, again, I'm afraid to say these words, that Eretz Goshen was, for a period of two centuries plus, the Eretz Yisrael of the Jewish nation. It was a bimkom. It was the, you know, what Herzl would have called Uganda. And they had no choice because, you know, they weren't ready for the battle against the seven nations to conquer Canaan. And now at this point in history, they have to experience Golus. But that Golus was in Eretz Goshen. That's where they lived. But Ramses remained the capital and the most important city within Eretz Goshen. And because Ramses was the center of Torah, Ramses was the base medrash. Ramses is where Yaakov, when he settled, organized a base medrash. You remember that he had sent Yehuda to go early. He was the chalutz to establish the base opener, and that was established in Eretz Ramses. Visham, says Rav Yirmiyah Lau, Hayamerkaz Hakochos Shel Hayadus Litora Ulietza. It's almost like Kivi Tzion Teitzei Sora. There was no Tzion at that point in Jewish history. There was Eretz Ramses, and that's where Torah went out from. And Lietza, and that's probably where the judgment took place, just like the Lishkas Hagazis was the house of the Sanhedrin to pass judgments. So too, Eretz Ramses was the place of judgment, of Eitzah, of guidance for all of the Jewish nation. Even after they spilled out from Ramses and they expanded to the four corners of Eretz Goshen. Ramses was the location where Yosef met his father for the first time after so many years. And that was the time where Yosef, and that was the place, excuse me, where Yosef designated an area as a base medrash, as the center of Judaism, as the political capital, but only political capital because it is the spiritual Torah capital of Eretz Goshen. The Oso Makom Higdish Yosef the base medrasho, at that place, because keep in mind the meeting between Yaakov and Yosef, after so many years of being separated, that reconciliation represents the meeting again between a Rebbe and a Talmud. And Yosef was the disciple of his father Yaakov, and the Ramban, of course, presents this in a very long and beautiful thesis at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. The first 17 years of his life, Yosef was the Talmud Muvhak of his father Yaakov. And it's reasonable to believe, although again the Ramban would not agree with this presentation, that I don't know about the Ramban, I have to double check that, but the Bali HaTosfos in Zkein and Bali HaTosfos would certainly not agree with what I'm about to say, and that is that the last 17 years in which Yosef and his father Yaakov lived together in the same country, you can assume that they resumed that relationship of Rebbe and the Talmud. And once again, if you ask where was that base medrash in which Yaakov taught his son Yosef in Mitzrayim, the answer is it was in Eretz Ramses. That was the center of Judaism, not politically but spiritually. And therefore it makes sense that that is where HaKadosh Baruch would gather together the people to that central capital district, of Eretz Ramses, in order to begin the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And so Yitzias Mitzrayim begins with the prologue. The prologue to Yitzias Mitzrayim is the miraculous gathering together of the Jewish people from the four corners of Eretz Goshen in one shakalha, in one very short span, because they rode on top of the wings of eagles. And where were they being brought to? To a marvelous place, the base medrash of Klal Yisrael, the Merkaz HaYadus, the capital, because of the Torah and Eitzah that came from that capital, and that is Eretz Ramses. Keep in mind, please, that the word Ramses has a totally different meaning than everything that we've been discussing in today's Shia, and we shouldn't confuse that. I mean, the Torah says in Parsha Shmos, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, regarding the Shibut and the slavery of Klal Yisrael, Vayiven Orei Miskanos Leparo Es Pison V'es Ramses. They're building Ramses. But keep in mind that the Ramses they're building is not the Ramses that we were talking about way back in Parshas Vayigash hundreds of years earlier. Well, I shouldn't say hundreds, but many years earlier when they first came and met Yosef and Yosef met them. That Eretz Ramses is an entire land, an entire district. Here, they are building not districts, they're building Ore cities, Miskenos Leparo. One of them is called Pisom, and the other is called Ramses. Now, truth is, I'm not an expert at pronunciation, But if I were, the pronunciation of Ramses in Perek Aleph of Shmos is not the same as the pronunciation of Ramses in Vayigash, or in Bo, or Yisro, or Masai, for that matter. And that's what the Ibn Ezra points out over there in Perek Aleph Mishmos, that the word Ramses has a pasach not only under the resh, which it always has, but even under the ayin. Right? The second letter of the word Ramses is Ra'amses. And the Ibn Ezra would have you read it with a pasach under the ayin, Ra'amses. And the Ibn Ezra is quick to point out, the Einenu Mokom Yisrael, don't identify this Ramses with the homeland of the Jewish people at that level. The homeland was not Ra'amses with a pasach under the ayin. Ra'amses is the city that was built by the slaves, by the Jewish people in their slavery, the Ari Miskinos Leparos Pisom Es Ramses. And just to, shall I say, emphasize this, if you take a look here in Parshas Bo, on the Pasuk by Yisu B'nei Yisrael Miramses Sukosa, this beginning, the first leg in the Masod B'nei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, the Ibn Ezra points out, Pasach Tachas HaReish, right, the word Ramses always, in any context, has a Pasach under the Reish, but he says, Ushva Tachas HaAyim. Again, it's hard to make, you know, in pronunciation, it's hard to make a difference between Ramses and Ramses, with a Shva Tachas an Ayin. Now, who could pronounce an Ayin with a Shva underneath it? Maybe the Yemenites could do that, but whoever could do it would certainly make a difference. This is no get to Balei Kriya, between the Ramses of Perek Aleph of Sefer Shmos, which is Ra'amses, and the Ramses of Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shmos, which is the location of Bnei Yisrael they came to, they gathered to, according to Rashi, miraculously, Al Kafi Ad Asharim, and there is a Shva under the ayin. And the Ibn Ezra even clarifies this further by saying, here in Parshas Bo, V'hu Shem Machoz V'lo Ir. Right, this Ramses is called Eretz Ramses. It's an entire district. It's a large province. Whereas the Ra'amses, with a pasuk under the ayin of Perek Aleph Misefer Shmos, which was built by Bnei Yisrael, that's not a machos, that's not a gigantic district, but rather it's a city. What I'd like to discuss with you now, for the balance of our shir, is a little bit about this beginning process of Yitzias Mitzrayim and going into the Midbar. And I want to share with you three different Makoros. One clearly has nothing to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim per se, but I think it does shed a light, if we're discussing, you know, the supernatural and the glory of this period of Jewish history in which our ancestors leave Mitzrayim and enter into the Midbar. And that's the Marsha in Bechoros. And then two other sources in Midrashi Chazal, which focus specifically on that trip, that glorious supernatural trip from Ramses to Sukkos. The Marsha tries to understand the message inherent in an Agadita in Masechta Bechoros on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Now keep in mind, the word Agadita has two distinct meanings in terms of the way we associate. They're both Agadita, but Agadita could mean a statement or a presentation of Chazal in Shas that's totally, totally a locked book. We don't have the code to decipher this, shall I say, secret language almost of Chazal. I mean, some people say that at the time that Chazal wrote these Agaditas, the language and the meaning was crystal clear. We just don't have we don't have the same, the words don't take on this or imply the same meaning today, because, you know, words take on different meanings in different contexts and phrases that are totally meaningless if you take them out of context and out of time and society. You know, if you open up the newspaper from 50 years ago and if you don't understand what phrases were, you know, the idiomatic phrases of the time, they're meaningless. You know, the shot that was heard all over the world. You know, I can hear a shot all over the world. But, I mean, there are even better examples. Those agaditas are really closed books for us today. There are other agaditas, and we've been learning them in Masechet Brachos for the last couple of months, they're pretty clear. Again, sometimes they're esoteric, and yet you need to embellish them with commentaries. But basically, you can understand the prime message of Chazal in the Agadita. This Marsha in Bechoros touches an Agadita. I call it the Chazeres Agadita. Chazeres is something which in the Gemara, in Pesachim, can be used for Marar on Leil HaSeder. And the Gemara says, like, different, like, wild things about the Chazeres that they had and how many Klipos it had. It had 600,000 Klipos and so forth and so on. And once it fell on a tree and all sorts of wild things that we don't understand. So that Agadita in Bechoros Nun Zayin is a classical case of something that's a closed book. There are Agaditas like that in Baba Basra and throughout Shas. The greatness of the Marsha is that sometimes, on occasion, he has the guts to try to decipher the code and reveal the message that's inherent in the Agadita. And in the case in Bechoros, he presents a thesis which, again, beautifies the concept of Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim and entering into the Midbar. And he writes the following. He says that Klal Yisrael number 600,000. That's the number. Yesh bi Yisrael ribui deos b'mispar shishim ribui. In other words, each member of Klal Yisrael has his own unique individual way of thinking. That's called ribui deos. And the sum total is 600,000. And that was Am Yisrael entering into the Midbar. And in the case of each individual, and if you want to describe the das, you know, the kind of opinions, the kind of, you know, thinking process of each individual, each one had a yamin and a smol, a right side and a left side. Again, these are all symbolisms that he finds in this, I got it, in this very strange story in the Gemara in Bechoros about Chazeres. And he writes that the Gemara in Bechoros is comparing Klal Yisrael, the 600,000 members of the community of Klal Yisrael, to Chazeres, because the Gemara tells us in the second parak of Pesachim that what's unique about Chazeres is that Chiloso Rach V'Sofo Kosher. In the way it grows, it hardens. It's first soft and then it hardens up. And that concept of Sofo Kosher, he says, in Chazeres serves as a remez to the thought process and the development of perhaps the ethical attributes of each individual member of Shishim Ribui, that it begins with a Tzad Tuma and it develops gloriously into a Tzad Tara. Tzad Tuma and Sofol Tzad Tara. Kibikoshi Boe Leha. This process by which a Jew's Dea, his Midos, his ethical soul, gets refined and purified from an original state of Tumah into a state of Tara. And this is what going into the Midbar is all about. It's to try to refine the people of Israel. You know, they left Mitzrayim at a very low point, Memtes Shari Tumah. They have to climb for 7 weeks till they reach the process of Kabbalah Satorah, and then from Kabbalah Satorah for almost 40 years till they enter Eretz Yisrael. That long process is a difficult one. It's a painstaking process, step by step. It's bekoshi. Just like sofo kosher, so too, this process is very difficult, very challenging. Yesh b'klal Yisrael shishim ribui klipos hatuma. It's each individual member of Klal Yisrael what word should I use, is endowed, I know that endowed is usually a positive term, it's not pejorative, with a klipa of tuma, bitchilos, in the beginning of his process of development of his neshama, and he refers to various symbolisms in the Agadita in Bechoros, which you can look at your spare time, but be that as it may, he says that originally, they were in a state of a makomos. You know, Mitzrayim is called a makomos because that's of course the land that is completely steeped in avodah zarah. That's called in the language of Sefer Yechezkel Shikutzehem Shal Mitzrayim. Hayu Sham Toladasam. That's where they were born, so to speak. You know, Klal Yisrael are almost born there. I mean, they came from Eretz Kanaan, but 70 Nefesh. Now they're undergoing a process of being part of this society of Tuma, of Klipa, of Shikutzehem, of Avodah Zarah. And perhaps he says that there's a reference or a hint to this in the Pasuk, Paru v'rovu v'yishritzu, kishrotzim halalu. So they were in a really down state of kishrotzim alol aval sofan, but at the end of the day, they left Mitzrayim, and with that exodus from Mitzrayim, they're undergoing a process of tahara to purify themselves from the shikutz and the tuma of Mitzrayim. Ukshabol midbar. Now we have not the tzad smol, but the tzad yamin of the Torah. The tzad small, the left side, represents the shikutz of Mitzrayim, and that's the beginning of this process, represented by the Chazeres. And they reach Har Sinai to receive the Torah. The Torah is being given b'tzad yamin, as the pasuk says, mimino esh das lamo, which is the pasuk at the end of the Torah. So it's the small that represents symbolically the shrutzim and the shikutzim of Tumas Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, that's the tomb of the Klipos, and that's the Tzad Smol, and now they move from the Tzad Smol over the Tzad Yamin as they receive the Torah at Har Sinai, which is the Tzad Yamin, Bimino, Bimino, Eish, Dos, Lomo. So I think that Marsha adds another element here to this whole glorious process of the transition from Mitzrayim into the Midbar, in this case to Midbar Sinai to receive the Torah. That transition, we said, was Ve'esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim, both in terms of the prologue, gathering the people together from the four corners of Eretz Goshen and taking them to one central place, Ramses. And the choice of Ramses, says the Diri Miyo, is because that's the spiritual capital of Eretz Goshen. Klal Yisrael are brought together from all four corners of Eretz Goshen to Ramses. And from Ramses to Sukkos, that's already the beginning of the long journey to Eretz Yisrael, a journey which will be absolutely glorious, a glorious page in the history of Klal Yisrael. And to appreciate the glory of that experience, the Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim that brings Klal Yisrael from Ramses and Yitzhi Strayim to Sukkos, specifically to Sukkos, and they came B'Shakala to Sukkos. For this, I want to study with you two midrashim. One is quoted here in the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, and the other is in the Medrash Seichel Tov. So let's pull out the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. I have a copy of the Targum Yonasan in what they call in the Kroos Gedolos Hamar, which has a Pirish Yonasan on it. So that helps us go through the Targum Yonasan, because Targum Yonasan is heavy Aramaic, and this is no exception. He says on Pasuk Lamed Zayin in Perek Yud Beis in Parshas Bo, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael mi Ramses Unitolo Bnei Yisrael, means they moved out min Pilusin is the Aramaic word for Ramses, Lesukos, And how long of a trip is it? How far of a distance is it? He says, Me'ah utlosin milin. So that would reflect Rashi, that we're talking about a more limited area, but a great area. We'll soon see in Seichel Tov that the area between Ramses and Sukkos is much larger. It's a tough kuf chaf mil, which adds another 400 mil, so it's 520 mil, not 120 mil. And he says the following. And I've got one finger here on the Pirish Yonasan, who quotes a Mechilta that Ramses to Sukkos was Arboim Parsa, and he makes an entire calculation to prove that Arboim Parsa is the same. And the question here, he vacillates back and forth. What exactly is the measurement of a meal that we have to multiply by 40? Is it, what is the measurement of a parsa that we have to multiply by 40 because the distance between Sukkos and Ramses was 40 parsa? Is a parsa equivalent to 4 milin, or is it equivalent to 3 1/4 milin? And he tries to work out a reconciliation between that mechilta in terms of calculating the distance between Ramses and Sukkos and the Medrash quoted here in Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Then it says, Taman is chafiu shivas anone yikara. He says, at that moment, when they began their trek from Ramses to Sukkos, they were surrounded by Anone HaKovod. And once again, if we look in the Pirush Yonasan, he quotes the Medrash that says that according to Rabbi Akiva, Sukkos is a reference not to a place, but to Anane HaKovod. And in the Medrash, Rabbi Akiva proves this from a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, Ki al kol kovod chofer. So when the Targum Yonasan speaks about Sukkos in terms of Anane HaKovod, you begin to get the impression that he's identifying Sukkos as not only a place, certainly a place because he calculates the distance to Sukkos, but also a reference to Anane HaKovod. And there were 7 of them. Ischafiu, and they surrounded like a chuppah b'nei Yisrael. 7 Anane HaKovod. Yikara means kovod. And he writes, Arba me arba sitrehon. It sounds like 4 of the 7 surrounded Klal Yisrael on the 4 sides, you know, around Klal Yisrael. But then we're still left with 3 more Anani Yaakov, Chad mi ilevehon, and 1. How should I say? Cover them from above, me lehon. Delo yechus aleim mitra ubarda, to protect them from rains and hail. Velo yischarchun, they shouldn't be burned b'sharvei shimsha, by the hot sun. V'chad milara, and 1 was in front of them. Delo yahanzakun lahon kubin, so they shouldn't be endangered by kotzim. So you can imagine that these Anani HaKovod included protection from kotzim, maybe to burn up the kotzim or separate the kotzim. V'lachivin v'akravin, and to protect them from all sorts of scorpions and other creatures that could attack them. V'chad metayel kumeon liashva umkaya ulememach turayo laaskano lahon beis mishroi. There was another one of the Anani HaKovod that would, in a sense, pave the way for them. And if there were any hills or crevices or so forth, to flatten the ground so that they could live there in the midbar. And how many were they? They were Sheish Mea Alfin Guvrayin. There were 600,000 men. So we're talking about a massive amount of people, a Mitailin al Rigleim, that were walking on by foot. Velo Rachvin al Susvon. They didn't have horses to ride on. Bar Mitafla. This doesn't even include the Taf. Chamsha, Chamsha l'chol Gavra. It sounds like the ratio between children and men was 5 to 1. So you're talking about a massive amount of people that were walking on foot, and they had to be protected by sukkos, which means anani akovot. And finally, the Medrash in Seichel Tov, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael mi Ramses Sukkosa, here in Parshas Bo, he writes, Mitoch Chalukos Rabbosein Rabbonu Rabbi Akiva Yesh Lefarish Ki Al Shem HaMaisa Koru Shem HaMokom Sukkos. Meaning that this Maisa of a journey of Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, out of Ramses, to reach Sukkos, that Maisa was a Maisa of Sukkos. And it's therefore the place is called Sukkos. Shemei Ramses L'Sukkos Mahalei Chamesh Meos V'Esrim Mil. Again, he has a much longer distance. V'Kevin Shenosumi Ramses Da'ainu V'Toch Eretz Mitzrayim Kisom HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shivas Anani HaKovet. Hashem covered them and protected them with 7 Anani HaKovet. V'Mesovivin Aleim K'Sukkah. And they surrounded them like a sukkah. And therefore, the name of the place is Sukkos because of this great miracle that they were surrounded by Anani HaKavot as a sukkah. V'chein hu amar, and that's the pasuk in Sukkos Hashavtis Bnei Yisrael Batzios HaMe'eretz Mitzrayim. That's the pasuk in Parshas Emor. V'oso ayom shenosu mi Ramses holchu tuf tof kuf chof mil. How do you imagine that they received, that they traveled tough 520 mil on one day when they left Ramses, is l'kayim ha'shenemar, because of the pasuk v'yesa eschem al kamfi nisharim. And this would support Rashi's position that not only was kamfi nisharim the gathering of Bnei Yisrael from the four corners of Eretz Goshen to Ramses, but the travel from Ramses to arrive at Sukkos, v'kayim ha'shechanu v'yoso makom, the rosh are you misovavim the anei akovet l'kach koru shema mokum Sukkos. So it wasn't that when they left Ramses they were going to Sukkos, and maybe that's what Rashi means when he says in his commentary on Tehillim Samach the emek Sukkos Sukkos eni yodei lo yadati Sukkos shabolo b'nei yisrok shenosil se Ramses heichanu, because really, where is it? Wherever it is, it's not something that you'll find on the map. It was called that name because of the great miracle of the Anani HaKovet that surrounded Bnei Yisrael, protect them from all sides and above like a sukkah, hence the name Sukkos. Rashi is justified in saying, I don't know exactly where it is on the map. It was a heck of a distance from Ramses, whatever it is, 120, 130, 150, or 520 mil, but they arrived there with the protection, the miraculous protection of the Anani HaKavod, and miraculously they were carried on the wings of eagles. May it be His will that we study His Torah and we're uplifted and inspired by all the miracles that took place, not only in Mitzrayim and at the time of the Yetziyah Mitzrayim, but from the moment of Yetziyah Mitzrayim until they arrived at their first destination, the place called Sukkos, which is called that way, that name because of the great miracle of the Anani HaKavod Shehikifum Kesukkah. We should be zoche to understand Hashem's Torah, the Yagadita, and to appreciate the miracles of Hashem, the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael, that glorification of this nation. And not only, as we said before, Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only entering into Eretz Yisrael and all the great miracles of conquering Eretz Yisrael, but specifically pinpoint the Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, Mi Ramses Sukkosa, here in Parshas Bo. And as the Chizkuni says, there was a double V'yesu Aschem. It was gathering Bnei Yisrael from the four corners of Goshen to Ramses, the capital, which, as the Divrei Yos says, is the spiritual capital of Bnei Yisrael at that time of Eretz Goshen, and the Vi'esa Eschem, to take them from Ramses to Sukkos, miraculously protected by the Anani HaKavod, which hence gives forth the name of Sukkos, that beautiful love relationship, V'zachati lo chesed nurayach, avas klu osoyach, which is the symbolic message of all of Shir HaShirim, and perhaps the most important message of the Torah itself, the love relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both directions. May we be zoche to really taste it and see it in our time, with our eyes, that love relationship. B'meherav Yameinu Kein Yiratzon. Amen.